the herd boy. Wooka, wake up, Malusi, Mama calls. Inside, the hut is still dark. Outside, the air is cool and the sun is rising. First, a red rim along the surrounding hills, then turning to gold as it rises and starts warming the village. Millipup is steaming in the pot. Eat up, says Mama. A boy cannot work on an empty stomach. Malusi looks after his grandfather's sheep and goats. It's a big job for a small boy. Malusi's shrill whistling drives the sheep out of grandfather's kraal. By the time they reach the grazing slopes, the earth is hot beneath his bare feet. Malusi shields his eyes against the sun's glare and looks up. There, he spots a black eagle flying in wide circles high in the sky. He places his feet carefully as he moves through the bush where puff adders doze, coiled up and unseen. He keeps the sheep and the goats from straying towards the deep donga, which is easy to fall into but hard to climb out of. You have to be awake. And you have to be brave to be a herd boy. Along the krans, a troop of baboons gather. If they come down, he will use his voice and a handful of stones to drive them back. He hears Koko barking. That means his friend Longisa is only a shout away. Longisa is older than Malusi and has his own dog. Sometimes they meet and play games while the sheep graze. Longisa always wants to play two-man football and stick fight. Malusi likes a challenge. Koko jumps out of their way as they kick up the dust. Shoo! Yells Malusi in the middle of the fight. I'm hot! So they take a break while he removes his blanket, slowly, giving him time to plan how he might win a few points. But he never does. Longisa is the champion footballer and champion stick fighter. Still, Malusi is a quick learner. He knows he must keep his eye on the ball and move out of harm's way during a stick fight. It's lunchtime, and Zulika, his older sister, brings their lunch. Every day it's the same thing, umvubu, a sour mixture of curdled milk and millipap. He and Longisa always eat it all up and scrape the tin bowls with their fingers. When I grow up, says Longisa, I'm going to play football for Bafana Bafana. When I grow up, says Malusi quietly, I'm going to be president. Longisa laughs so loudly that it sets the baboons off.
Wahoo, wahoo,
they holler back. Zulika collects the bowls. Malusi is clever, she says. He can be anything he likes. Malusi is glad when Longisa disappears into the dip to join his flock. Malusi likes being on his own, just him and his shadow. Silent and as still as a mountain, he watches the ground where two columns of termites are on the march. Ish, such hard workers, all working together. If he sees one on its own, he feels sorry for it and says, Hamba, go away, little Khoha. Go join your people. Push, push, row, row. Push, push, row, row. Malusi smiles at the dung beetle, who never gives up. It rests in Malusi's shadow and then pushes on into the harsh sunlight. It reminds Malusi what he must still do. Collect some fresh dung to give to the shopkeeper, Uamdingi, who will add it to the soil in his garden. In return, Malusi's mother will receive some fresh vegetables. He practices his counting as he scoops up the dung pebbles. Inya, one. Mbini, two. Ntatu, three. Until the sack is filled. Ai, Wena! When he looks up, there's an old baboon sitting on a rock, and it is much too close to the baby lambs and kids. Malusi shakes his stick and shouts, Hamba, go away! The baboon is thin and looks hungry. When he opens his jaws, he is missing one fang. Still, Malusi does not like the look of him, and when he climbs suddenly off the rock and moves forward, it is time to shout much louder.
Longisa! Coco!
His voice echoes off the clouds. Now the bush is filled with Malusi's cries and the bleating of the frightened herd. The baboon is among the sheep and goats. If he does not take a young one, he will scare the animals towards the donga. Malusi moves cautiously among the flock, stick at the ready, and then he spots the baboon's tail, hears the cry of a lamb, and sees the dust of a struggle.
Malusi!
It's Longisa coming with Coco. Coco smells the baboon and dashes in between the frightened animals, who clear a ring for the fight. Longisa and Malusi push themselves forward, ready to help Coco. But there is no fight. Coco's blood-curdling growls and his bare teeth have changed the baboon's mind. He lets go of the bleeding lamb and scuttles back up the slope. The lamb is injured, but still alive. Maybe grandfather can put some medicine on its wounds and make it better. For now, Malusi wraps his blanket around the little lamb and pats Coco. I wish I had a dog like you, he says to the panting dog. He's like baby Jake, brags Longisa. Malusi has to agree. Coco is short but very powerful, like the famous boxer, baby Jake Matlala. The heat has gone out of the day, and it is time to go home. Longisa offers to carry Uumdingi's dung so that Malusi can carry the injured lamb. Coco barks at the herd, driving them down the slope towards the dirt road that leads to the kraal. Yes, Martha, we are hungry. Is the fire burning? Is the food cooking? Yes, Mother, we are returning. Malusi and Longisa sing the song along the dirt road, and then they stop. Look, says Longisa, a car is coming. Malusi sees it approach in a cloud of dust. They move the sheep to the side of the road, but the car does not pass. Instead, it slows down and stops. Who has such a shiny new car? Wonders Malusi. Slowly, the back window opens, and an old man with a face as lined as the krans smiles at them.
Morwani,
greets the old man. Molo tatamkulu, the boys return his greeting. He tells them that when he was a young boy, he also wore a red blanket and looked after sheep. Malusi looks at the beautiful shirt he is wearing now and quickly looks down.
So, what do you boys want to be when you grow up?
Asks the old man.
To play for Bafana Bafana, answers Longisa.
Malusi is too shy to answer, so Longisa answers for him.
He wants to be the president, says Longisa, giggling.
And then the old man sees what Malusi has been carrying and says,
Ah, a boy who looks after his herd will make a very fine leader. Sala Kasle, Mr. President.
The sun has dipped behind the hills, casting long shadows across the veld. The soft padding of hooves on clay makes gentle music. Voices can be heard coming from the kraal. Malusi hopes his grandfather will not be angry because he has brought home a wounded lamb. Surely he will know that Malusi has done his very best to save it. Maybe the little lamb will survive. Before bedtime, Malusi's grandfather brings him a pup.
Uumdingi sent us for you,
says his grandfather.
And I'm told that Coco is his dad, so those baboons had better watch out.
Malusi smiles and opens his blanket for the pup to crawl under. All is well. In the darkness of the hut, Malusi repeats the words of the old man. A boy who looks after his herd will make a very fine leader. Then he closes his tired eyes and falls asleep, where a dream is waiting to be dreamt. Many great men come from humble beginnings. One such was the boy David of the Old Testament, who looked after his father's flocks and later rose to become a king. Muhammad, too, spent part of his boyhood tending his family's herd in all weather and amid dangers. A great and much-loved man of our own time, the late former President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, also came from a humble rural background. Just who could have predicted that a herd boy from the village of Kunu in the Transkei would one day become a great world leader? Though our childhoods may appear accidental, some luckier than others, they so often seem custom-made for the adults we become. So I ask, what is there in the life of a herd boy that would help prepare him to become the shepherd of a nation?